Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. Sean proposed a question to me right before the show started that has nothing to do with anything we would normally talk about, but hey, whatever. John and Lance can take 5 minutes off my show, so I'll do this. I'll take another five doing this. So we were talking about some nerd stuff because in some ways, we're both nerds, college football video game nerds, and also comic book movies nerds. You know that because we do that whole segment with Michael Carroll every Friday. So the star of Blue Beetle, if you don't know what Blue Beetle is, it's a DC little-known comic book hero. It had an all-Latin cast, which was big, had never seen it before. The movie was relatively good. I don't know how well it did the box office. I don't really keep track, but it's relatively good. The star of that movie is also the star of one of the stars of the Cobra Kai series. I don't remember his name. He is the Latin kid. I don't know his name. Sorry. But if you watch Cobra Kai, he is that character. On the good side, at least when I last stopped watching. I don't know where he is now. But he was doing stuff with Daniel LaRusso in his dojo. He put a Blue Beetle tattoo in the middle of his back. I don't know if that series is that movie is going to change his life. I don't know if they're going to make like three more of those or James Gunn's going to put him in the DCEU and Blue Beetle is going to be the role he can point to that jump-started a movie career. But if Tom Holland ain't going to put a Spider-Man tattoo on, what are you doing with the Blue Beetle? There's no chance. Sean asked me. I wouldn't do it. I gotta say, you know what? I appreciate the casting. I appreciate DC having faith in me. But I'm not putting a giant actual Blue Beetle in the middle of my back. It ain't that important to me. In fact, let's look at the box office. If it doesn't break $100 million, you can't put a tattoo of a Blue Beetle on your back. There got to be some rules here.
There does have to be some rules.
So I will get this gentleman's name because we are talking about him right now. But I believe it's one of those names where I would butcher is Jolo Maridueña. I hope that's how I say it, how it's pronounced. Blue Beetle, budget of $104 million, box office $130.8 million. So is that a good enough return to go put a Blue Beetle in the middle of your back?
It's over 100.
It's true. We set a standard of over 100.
I think when you take into account marketing, I don't know if it made profit. it's cutting it very close for if it actually was profitable.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me. He's Miguel in Cobra Kai. I'm looking at it, and if there's another Blue Beetle movie coming, I'll shoot him some bail. But if we're talking about a one-time thing and you got to go on to scrap and claw to make other stuff and maybe do another Cobra Kai spinoff, there's a Cobra Kai. I don't see another Blue Beetle movie coming. Sorry. I can't allow it. There had to be a subsequent sequel coming, or maybe James Gunn has promised him a role in one of the bigger DC movie characters and movies, and he's going to be in it. I appreciate your effort, big boy, but nah. Sean showed me the tattoo. It's pretty horrendous.
It's not horrendous.
It's a giant Blue Beetle in the middle of your back.
Yeah, but it's well done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the artwork is done.
It's well done.
It's not a terrible tattoo as far as the artistry.
It's just big and very photorealistic of what a beetle looks like, which is, I think most people would say, off-putting.
Yes. And luckily, it's in a spot where you're not going to have a lot of opportunities where it needs to be shown the middle of your back, so the makeup artist wants to deal with it for the most part.
Yeah, first job.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in real life, a lot of people are going
to
see that tattoo.
Don't go to a pool.
Well, yeah. I was the guy who starred in Blue Beetle. What's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that like Yellow Jackets?
No, I don't eat it. I don't eat one
way
of my
less
teammates.
Successful.
Yeah, I don't eat, and I don't eat one of my teammates in the TV show. I fight off a character, a scarab, I think, a scarab-based character. Blue Beetle's not bad. I just don't know.
If it's tattoo on your back forever. Worthy.
Yeah, because as I said, if I can't find Tom Holland with the Spider-Man tattoo, I'm not sure the guy who's the star Blue Beetle needs to put one of those on his back. A giant one. But hey, I'm sure. Oh, he does have one on his foot. Tom Holland has a spider on his foot.
There we go.
So there it is.
Wow.
So, and there's pictures of Tom Holland's feet, which now it's gotten to a weird spot.
Oh, hold on. I want to see this tattoo. Tom Holland.
It's feet. In the middle. It's on the sole of his foot.
I'm just going to look up Tom Holland feet.
That's not what I looked up.
That's not?
I looked up Tom Holland tattoos. And there is a tattoo in the middle of his foot of a spider. It's not even of Spider-Man. It's of a spider.
Like Mr. Blue
like
Beetle.
The spider who bit him, I guess, who bit his fictional character. So there it is.
Why is that at the bottom of his foot?
He doesn't want people to see it, except when he lifts it up in an interview.
How often do people see the top of your foot? Or I don't know. Okay.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So be it. So, okay. If Tom Holland can do it, you can do it. Tom Holland did make the choice of keeping it less visible unless he's lifting his feet up. So there it is. Okay. Moving on. That just struck me as an odd thing for that guy to do. The Texans made a trade yesterday for a draft pick. Who they traded was Cam Akers. So my agenda still thrives, Sean. The agenda is that if D'Amico Ryans and Brian Baldinger are right, Damian Pierce will be the best back on the Texans roster. And if it got a little shaky, mostly because he was hurt, and Cam Akers looked pretty good in the preseason while Damian Pierce did not. Mm-hmm. I've still got to fight the Joe Mixon explosive run stuff.
Yeah.
But Damian Pierce has one of his own in one game already, a 50-plus yard run.
Yeah, it is tough to say
it's thriving since that it's still alive because they didn't trade Damian Pierce. They traded Cam Akers.
Yes. But the fact that Joe Mixon basically scores a touchdown every time he plays a full game for the Texans. Actually, he plays, three touchdowns in two full games?
Yes.
Because he had two yesterday and only one against
the Colts?
He might have had two.
He might have. We'll look that up.
That's not good for your platform.
It's not. But once again, if what those guys are saying is true, and the first time I saw Damian Pierce in a regular season, he ripped off a long run. So I don't feel too bad about my prediction. Now, of course, Joe Mixon has exceeded my expectations. There are some numbers regarding the Texans' run game that would tell you that they were very feast or famine. If your eyes didn't tell you that against the Patriots, the numbers are there, courtesy of John Crumpler. I think he's of Texans Wire. He found or dug up the numbers, the success rate numbers for the Texans, and they're not great, but the explosives made up for it, which we talked about on Monday, as they took advantage of what is a bad Patriots defense. The Patriots are not a good defense, particularly run defense, and I think they are middle to below, I think they're maybe 19th at the start of the week after their performance against the Texans. So they were able to eat up the Patriots. They did the same to the Colts. Obviously, they have the Packers coming up here on Sunday. So I'll give you some of those numbers when we get back. The Rockets played last night, and we had the discussion last week about should we care, and I think we fell on probably not, but there was a question of how many games they're going to win. I think we should talk about that because sometimes when a topic comes up, there's not a lot of interest for me depending on what it is. But it happened this morning, and I immediately inside was like, no, I'm pushing back on this. So Lance and John were talking about Rockets wins, And they were, the number got floated out there about 50. 50 is a lot. Only seven teams won 50 games last year. And they had something in common. They either had an MVP candidate or a couple of perennial all-stars, established all-stars, not guys who will eventually do it, like you might put Şengün in that category, maybe a Jalen Green, maybe Reed Shepard, whoever you might think has the best potential in the Rockets. It was established stars. Or a guy like Shea, who's an established star, but also was an MVP candidate. So we'll talk about Rockets' potential, not the game itself. It was fine. I mean, Reed Shepard started out great, then fell off 4 for 4. Then I think he finished like 4 out of 9 or something like that. The Rockets beat the Pelicans last night at home. But with the season coming up, I think they have one more preseason game to go. What can we expect of this team? I'll give you the win total numbers from a couple different sites, and we'll see if that 50 number is actually realistic when we talk about this team, talk about the West, and talk about who's actually on the roster, and do any of these guys line up to be what the teams who won 50 games were. You got a star? You got an MVP candidate that we don't know about? So we'll get to that. We're just getting started here. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on Dameon Pierce and his addition to the Texans lineup. We talked about that explosive run. What else can he provide? We know D'Amico talked very glowingly about Dameon Pierce in the offseason, and his first action in the regular season looks like D'Amico wasn't too far off. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, let's talk about my bookie. Tomorrow is Thursday, which means it's risk-free Thursday. So obviously wait. If you want to wait for tomorrow if you want to take a chance at winning and not losing. That's what Risk-Free Thursday is about. No matter what you're betting on, if you win, you win and win big, that's your money. If you don't, you get refunded. Sounds like a good deal? It should. And if it does, go to mybookie.ag to check it out. So beyond Risk-Free Thursdays, they also have all the sports betting you want. From college football, we had games last night. Major Applewhite's team won a game last night at Southern Alabama or South Alabama. You've also got the NFL coming up on Thursday. Obviously, into the weekend, NHL is going on, the NBA preseason, all you could want. If you bet on the U.S. against Mexico, that didn't go well for you. But, hey, you can get it back today. That promo code is BET975. It matches up to $1,000 at 100%. So if you put in $200, you get $200 double. If you put in $400, $400 double. So on and so on up to $1,000. From the live betting, sports betting, the casino, everything you could want to make the game's more fun is at MyBookie. Just go to MyBookie.ag. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We will hear from D'Amico Ryans on Dameon Pierce here shortly, but courtesy of John Crumpler, some of the numbers regarding the Texans run game. They rank bottom five in success rate and top 10 stuff rate. So their runs, for the most part, were not successful. We all saw the big runs covered up a lot of guys getting tackled 2 to 3 yards down the field, if not behind the line of scrimmage. Just wasn't a good day play by play. The explosive runs were great, led to touchdowns. You'll take those. Well, the Joe Mixon one didn't. I don't think they scored on that one. But those plays had a long touchdown run from Joe Mixon, I think 20 yards, and then obviously the Dameon Pierce one. And the stuff rate is just offensive lineman not winning or a guy getting tackled in the backfield on a run blitz. But it didn't matter. The Patriots are awful. And you're able to exploit them on some of your gap scheme runs for big plays. And that was nice to see. Dameon Pierce was part of that. I mentioned his long touchdown run. It was his first action of the year. D'Amico been very complimentary of Dameon Pierce, even through his struggles last year. Said he was going to be a different guy this this season. Didn't look like it in the preseason, but did look like it in game one. Here's D'Amico Ryans on Damian Pierce.
David Damian, I don't think everybody was fired up to see him, you know, get the big run, the explosive run. It shows the work that Damian has put in. I'm just showing that clip there in the team meeting. Everybody's going crazy with Damian and how physical that run was, right? For him to break through the line and to break two tackles and the speed to finish the run. It was just, man, I'm happy for Damian and proud of him for the work that he's put in while he's been out with injury. But he showed up and showed that he was ready to go. And he made an outstanding play for our team and a play to help us, you know, win that game.
Damn, Kevin Harlan. Relax. I'm trying to hear from D'Amico. Kevin Harlan won't shut up.
It was 34-21 during that play.
So excited, Kevin. Kevin Harlan, if he's on your game and your team is doing well, you feel like the best team in the world. He is one that puts some juice into the broadcast. I like Kevin Harlan. And he rolls with the punches no matter what's going on. We've heard some of his NBA stuff. Or even, you know, I think he's famous for that NFL call. It was a radio call he was doing where a guy ran on the field and he did the play-by-play for him avoiding security until he finally got tackled. Kevin Harlan's one of those guys I love when I can watch a football game while he's calling it. I just didn't need him there. And that was him doing the play-by-play for Damian Pierce's run. So Pierce will be there in Green Bay along with Joe Mixon. The health of both is of concern. They've missed time already. You hope they've gotten those out of the way because they've messed with some of their depth with trading Cam Akers back to the Vikings. Cam Akers is a Viking now. I think the Vikings wanted him in the offseason, but he saw an opportunity. I think the Texans are offering him more money. I do feel bad for everyone who put their Cam Akers edits together. The people who went on Twitter and have all their Cam Akers edits. And, you know, they put those clips together, whether it be on TikTok or Twitter, about Cam Akers is one of them. He is him. Those guys. Sorry. D'Amico told you Damian Pierce was his dude. I know you tried to push for Cam Akers, and everyone's like, hey, Damian Pierce can't make this team. They got to trade him or cut him, obviously, because Cam Akers is the clear number two. And then D'Amico's like, just wait. And the Texans, I won't say they couldn't wait to get rid of Cam Akers, but as soon as they knew Damian Pierce was back, they're like, bye. A six-rounder? We'll take it. Appreciate you, Cam. Do your best in Minnesota. All that stupid Cam Akers revenge game stuff that people were talking about earlier. And all of a sudden, look at Cam Akers back in Minnesota. All that revenge, huh?
Yeah.
34-7, and then back in Minnesota a couple weeks later.
It's like when LeBron went back to Cleveland.
Well, that's, yes. Yes. Who was that revenge for? It felt like more revenge for the Cleveland fans, the way they treated that game. It wasn't a LeBron revenge game. It was all stupid. Like, all the guys, Danielle Hunter, revenge game. Cam Akers, revenge game. No, it's just a football game. And it's a business. And now Cam Akers, I guess if he sees the Texans.
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that would have to be the case. I don't know if they're going to see the Vikings. Maybe in another 4 years or so. If he's still in the Vikings, which is unlikely, it'll be a Cam Akers revenge game again.
His revenge game will be when he's on the Titans or something in 2 years.
Cam Akers does feel like the type of guy who won't be sticking around for more than a year. Maybe sometimes half a season with the team. That's where his fate lies now.
That was his Vikings time. He played like six games with them.
But it was revenge.
Revenge, of course. And now he's back. LeBron returning to
Is he going to refuse a report? He's so pissed off about what the Vikings did to him.
Do you think that, so much like Texans fans made edits for a guy who at best was going to be the second running back in on the roster?
Yeah,
they made preseason edits of him. Do you think any Minnesota fans are going to dig up old Cam Akers Minnesota highlights and set it to "I'm coming home"?
No, I know what they will do. They'll pretend like they did a jersey edit of him wearing a Vikings jersey, first look of Cam Akers on a Vikings jersey, and just him from last year.
Yeah,
that'll happen probably. But we say goodbye to Cam Akers. We hardly knew ye. We appreciate you, the excitement you brought in preseason games. That screen pass you caught in the Hall of Fame game that C.J. Stroud was so excited about. That will be my favorite memory. The excitement that C.J. Stroud showed, and everyone going, Cam Akers is just different. Mm-hmm. See that spin move? He's just different.
Different.
So different that as soon as they got
he's
healthy.
He's on a different team.
Yeah. Well, the same team for him, but a different team from the Texans. So that happened yesterday. Not the biggest trade.
I mean, no, that, I think that was the biggest trade of yesterday.
You think so? There were multiple.
I mean, it's all close. But I think Cam Akers for a sixth rounder, that might be the, I don't know what
the
else.
The best value trade?
I don't know what else people are talking about. Did First Take not start with the Cam Akers going back to?
Start? How about mention? Start.
When's the last time do you think they said the words Cam Akers on First Take?
Ooh. That's a good answer. When he fumbled against Tampa Bay as a Ram in that playoff game?
I mean, they definitely said it on...
When he tore his Achilles, maybe?
Or just the week before the Super Bowl, where they have to... Everyone has to give a key to the game, and they all do...
Someone mentioned Cam Akers as a key?
Yeah, for sure.
Not a chance.
No.
A key to the game?
You had to run the ball.
But he wasn't the starting back, was he?
Yeah, he was.
He got the most carries?
In the playoffs, he did.
I'll look that up. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just can't believe that Cam Akers was the starting running back in the Super Bowl. I'll look it up. But, yeah, I guess if that's the case in the Super Bowl, which is in the same season as that fumble, I think he probably got mentioned on first. Would Cam Akers tearing his Achilles get a mention on First Take?
No.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Unless he was the maybe the first time he tore his Achilles on the Rams.
You're probably right about that. But he didn't get a mention. It was a lot of Amari Cooper after Devontae Adams.
Oh.
Although the Amari Cooper trade happened after First Take was over, so probably. But Amari Cooper on ESPN was certainly a story. Amari Cooper is now a Bill. The Browns receive a 2025 third and a 2026 seventh. That team is a disaster. The Bills, all that tough talk from Josh Allen, huh? It's nice not to have anyone caring about getting their targets. And then 6 weeks into the season, actually, I like a number one wide receiver. Those are nice. All that Joe Brady stuff, we're gonna dump the ball off to James Cook and throw the ball to Kincaid and Knox and Shakir a couple catch. That's cool and all. But you know what I like? A guy I can depend on third down to target. Now, he may not catch the ball because Amari Cooper, all he does is drop passes now. But maybe that was like a soft quit for Amari Cooper. I'm going to quit on some routes. I'm going to drop some balls because get me the hell out of Cleveland. Anything will do. And getting trades to Buffalo is not a bad option. Buffalo Bills 4-2 certainly changes what I think of them. I was talking about them yesterday. I wasn't sure they're a good football team. Amari Cooper, if he's playing well, makes them dangerous. I don't think they're better than Baltimore or Kansas City. Hell, they never beat Kansas City, so let's see that happen first before we even give that a consideration. But it makes them viable as a potential threat. They're worse than the Texans. They're clearly still fourth. Can't think of any team other than them that you can slide into that fourth spot in the AFC, but they make an addition. The Jets do. Desperation for them. Do the Texans need to make a trade? Not on the offensive side of the ball. Nico Collins won't be back. Won't be out for too long. But that nickel inside corner position, the coverage from the inside, not great. Eric Murray, not a great option. We know Jalen Petrie's better going forward than he is in a backpedal. Any corner that you might grab is going to be a little expensive. And if you're looking for someone that might push Kamari Lassiter into the inside, where some people think he's more suited for to be a nickel corner, who could be that guy? We'll talk about that guy possibly when we come back. It'll cost you. He is well regarded, but we're watching AFC teams make moves. Maybe if the Texans are going to be one of those all-in teams, which they seem to be, particularly in the offseason, maybe they need to make another move to get them over the hump, as the secondary could be a position that costs them when it matters. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we know Kamari Lassiter is going to be out for a little bit. He missed the game against the Patriots. He will miss the game against the Colts and maybe more games after that. According to Aaron Wilson, Kamari Lassiter has a scapula fracture and he's expected to be out a few more games. So a few sounds like three. And if we're looking at what Jeremy Branham has researched through, I think, just Google.
Oh, okay. No, it's not
it's not one of the online doctors.
Jeremy Branham?
No, he hasn't got his MD since the last you've seen him.
Could you? I probably have asked this before because it's something I think about a lot. Could I just change my profile picture to me wearing a lab coat and put
I don't even think you need a lab MD? Coat. You just need to put all those acronyms after your name that make you look like a doctor and then go to work and see how it goes for you.
I probably just need it, but I need to change it to where it looks like official, where I look like a doctor.
Yeah, Dr. Sean Mapes.
Yeah.
And you put MD, PhD, whatever you want to put behind it to make yourself look like someone.
But is that impersonating a doctor?
Your hair. You probably have to cut your hair too.
I can find I can find an older picture.
Yeah,
maybe.
Can use that, yeah.
But is that impersonating a doctor? Or is it only impersonating a doctor if you
actually try to treat someone, I think that's a problem. But if you're just on Twitter saying you're a doctor, I'm not sure the rules apply and, that's a crime.
And only a doctor that's only diagnosing football players off of slow motion replay.
Yeah, if you just have a random injury because you're a runner, don't come to Sean. He does is evaluate.
Care. I'm not looking in my comments for hey, Dr. Mapes. I got it. Don't care.
Yeah,
I'm slowing down the Aiden Hutchinson injury to say, yep, that's broken.
that's your diagnosis.
Yep,
broken leg.
That's a goner.
Yep, he's going to be out for a while. Ugly injury. So according to Dr. Branham, if we're going to call him that, a scapula fracture that doesn't require surgery is a 6 to 8 week injury. That is what he's found. He posted a screenshot of what he found. And of course, a surgical treatment could take up to a lot longer. So should the Texans stop pretending they're the Astros and just put that man on IR and get it over with? Because he's already missed one. Do they expect him back within 4 weeks? The injury would suggest, if it is a fracture, that he shouldn't come back before 6. Just put that man on IR, and then we have to have a discussion about the topic I brought up before we went to break, a trade for a corner. Because the Kamari Lassiter thing is going to be a long-term thing, then the urgency to trade for a corner seems like something that should get accelerated. And the corner in question is Greg Newsom. He plays for the Browns. He can play outside corners. He is a guy who will cost you. The Browns gave him money. I don't know how that will work prorated, how the Texans will make it work in this season. What happens in 2025 is a different story. I looked at Texans over the cap. They have about $5.5 million of cap space. Would they have to maneuver? Would they have to switch some numbers around? I don't know. But Greg Newsom is the guy that people are looking at. And he would be a much needed addition. The depth of that secondary is not great already. And then you're talking about losing Lassiter potentially for more time than you expected. This is a season where you think you have the chance to win big. I mean, we watched the Jets and the Bills do it. The Jets, desperation. The Bills, they're on a timeline. They can't keep throwing away years. We've already seen what's happened to them as they lose player after player. So they decided they're not good enough at wide receiver. Make a move. The Texans are in a different spot. They're not paying a quarterback a lot of money. It's D'Amico's second year. He's not under the same pressure that a Sean McDermott is. He doesn't have multiple disappointing playoff losses that are pushing the organization to make moves. But that didn't stop them from trading for Stephon Diggs and going after Danielle Hunter. And if Greg Newsom is available, I think it's something you should consider. They've got a problem in the secondary right now. And that was before your starting rookie was hurt and could be out for longer than we thought. Nick, you sleep? Is Casario asleep? Make a move. You see Joe Douglas. What's his name in Buffalo? Is it Bean?
Brandon
Bean. You see Brandon Bean making moves. Where are you at?
It's Brandon. Yeah.
It is Brandon Bean.
Billy Bean's the ace guy.
Ace guy, yeah.
Yeah, I do
Sleepy Nick Caserio.
I do think that when two guys – oh, he did make a trade yesterday. Let's not.
He depleted the roster.
Mm.
Less talent on the roster. No, you can't go, He actually – there's less talent on the roster than there was yesterday. Only the Twitch and YouTube and Twitter people can see. Sean is shrugging his shoulders without saying anything. He actually depleted the roster. Whatever you think of Cam Akers, and you know I'm a Damian Pierce truther, whatever you think of Cam Akers, there's less talent on the roster by making that trade.
I mean, by like volume, yes.
Yes.
There's
one less NFL caliber player on the roster.
I mean, they probably will sign someone to.
There's one less NFL caliber player on the roster as we speak.
They're going to sign someone.
Yeah, but
probably the Damian Pierce Cam Akers of whatever their position is.
But they
is.
Thought Cam Akers was worthy of being their starting running back when their two top guys were out. So are they going to sign a guy who's as capable as he is? I don't know. I guess we'll find out whoever they sign. I know they elevated Kurt Heinisch off the off IR, or PUP, whatever list he was on. But Nick Caserio is trading guys away. What are we doing here? Go add me some talent, Nick.
What if this is the move before the move? They open up the roster spot.
They need a cap space and a roster spot to make a move. Oh, if it's the move before the move, cool. But I don't see the second move. I just see the first. And you made my roster worse. So get going.
I do think everyone, I mean, not just Texans fans, but I think every fan base in the league, after two wide receivers get traded, everyone's like, oh, okay. Like, they get the itch of like.
Oh, we need to make a move.
Yeah, let's move.
You're the Panthers. You don't need to make a move. Just sit there and be terrible. You don't need to make a move.
Vikings, just chill out.
You're undefeated.
Your team did make a move. They brought in talent.
Well, yeah, the Vikings wouldn't be complaining.
They should be complaining.
Why? Because Sam Darnold's their quarterback?
No, because the trade they made was
only a 6-round pick. The Texans and Vikings are now trade partners. It's like it's like what the Broncos and Texans were, and the Patriots at one point. Well, we would just sign old Patriots or bring old coaches over here, but we have a new trade partner. It used to be Denver, who the guys would float back and forth. Mostly a lot of former Texans went to Denver because Kubiak was there. But now, are you a Viking or you're a Texan? Depends on the year.
Probably both.
At some point, probably both. Wait till Justin Jefferson is here.
Fire Bobby Slowick, had hired Brad Childress to be the offensive coordinator.
Was he an offensive guy or a defensive guy?
I thought he was a homegrown offensive coordinator.
You're probably right about that. No, I think we're done with Brad Childress.
I
think he's done with coaching in the NFL. I think that's long since passed his he's long since passed his prime as one of those guys who anyone would be counting on.
Okay, Mike Tice then.
Mike Tice. Where is Mike Tice now?
Probably retired.
I would think so.
He coached 25 years ago.
I would like more recent Vikings if we're going to play this game.
Oh, okay.
Like Case Keenum, former Viking, Texan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not currently. He's not. He's hurt, so not really a Texan.
Assistant offensive quarterbacks coach. Case Keenum.
Give him that label if you so choose. An OG.
Yeah.
That's the role he's playing right now, helping out his quarterbacks.
Quarterback OG.
I just need Nick to make a move, that's all. Go get me a corner. I don't know if the D'Angelo Ross, Eric Murray combo / Jalen Petrie is going to get it done against the Packers. Now, you probably can't make the move that's going to help you by Sunday, although Davante Adams looks like he's going to play. They're trying to do everything possible to make sure he plays on Sunday for the Jets, but... Okay, I ain't going to put Nick under the pressure to get a guy for Sunday. You may just have to take a beating from Dobbs and Watson and Wicks and all those guys. But come on.
Yeah. What, the deadline's like November 1st or something? It's normally around Halloween. It is literally the trade deadline. But it's also
November
for
5th.
You, November 5th. Good. Extra couple days to work the phones. But that's the deadline for you, for Nick Caserio. Is he awake?
I don't need sleeping Nick Caserio not even taking calls because he's in the middle of a nap on Tuesday, November 5th. That's an off day, generally, for the NFL. I don't need it for Nick. I need him to be working.
Yeah.
Unless you make the trade before then I ain't got no complaints.
Even then, still, you know.
Yeah, just monitor.
There's no rule that you can only make one trade.
It's very true. But there are some issues in that secondary. Your job's not done, Nick. Job's not done. I am calling out the GM.
Is it
go
just,
get me a cornerback.
Is it just a corner? Is that the only? And then I guess safety.
I don't want to ask for too much.
I mean,
Jimmy Ward's still hurt.
Just as far as a wish list.
Another safety would be great. You can't depend on Jimmy Ward.
Okay.
He's always hurt. At least as a Texan, he's always hurt, it feels like.
Running back to replace the hole left by Cam Akers.
Yes. When you deplete my roster of talent, I need it to be replaced. But I guess J.J. Taylor and Dare will take that.
Is there a former Viking that they can sign?
Is Adrian Peterson? Yeah. Does he want to play?
I was thinking more Chester Taylor.
Not bad.
Similar skill set.
They can go trade for Alexander Mattison. He doesn't play for the Vikings. He's someplace else. But he's active. You can go trade for him. What's Herschel Walker doing? Running? Is he still running for Senate someplace? Okay. Some of that is tongue-in-cheek. Obviously, Herschel Walker's probably not available for multiple reasons.
He's available.
For multiple reasons. He's probably not going to be a guy they can sign off the street.
Only 62. Wow.
Still can do all those push-ups, I think, and try to run a Senate campaign. But there is an opening for a position, and there is one on the trade market. At least people are putting them on the trade market, and you feel like the Browns would be willing to dump a guy because where is this season going? And we know the Texans and Browns have been trade partners in the past. So Greg Newsom is the name. I'm sure others will come up as we are about 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. But the Kamari Laster news is disconcerting if we're talking about an injury that can keep him out at a minimum 6 weeks. But right now it's being positioned as a few more games. Don't be the Astros. Just make the move and move on. We'll see what the Texans do there. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about the Rockets in a sense of what can they be this year. Can they be a 50-win team? Do they have the pieces or a piece to make that happen? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Rockets played last night. They win. They beat the Pelicans here at Toyota Center. Not that much of a concern. We have one more preseason game to go, I believe, before they start their regular season. They go tomorrow, and then they'll get situated for the start of the regular season. We're about 6 days away from the start of the NBA regular season. Okay, so can this team win 50 games? That topic of conversation came up earlier today with John Lance. John thinks they're going to be better. Lance is really in on this Rocket team. Thinks they're going to take a jump after the jump they took last year. They won 41 games last year. We remember that month of March, right after Şengün got hurt. He was part of the start of the turnaround, but he didn't play after that injury. And they made a push, got to 500, won their last couple games, and made sure they were 41-41 on the year. They are not, by any measure, a team expected to win that many games, 58 at least. A couple of sites, BetMGM and the other one is, let's see where I put that, and FanDuel both have them at 43.5 wins. That is only 2.5 more wins more than they finished with. And if we are reviewing last year, it took a remarkable month to get even close to that. Now they fell off at the end, and then they won their last two to get there. 50 wins was only done 7 times by teams in the NBA last year. And those teams either had an MVP candidate like Jalen Brunson or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or they were a team that was filled or at least had a couple of perennial all-stars. The Clippers are different this year, but at the time, they had Kawhi. You know, it wasn't around all the time. Paul George, James Harden. We go to Denver. You had an MVP candidate. Not a bad number two in Jamal Murray. Obviously, we know that team was a title team, or at least they were the defending NBA champions that year. Just go around the league. Dallas, they had Kyrie and Luka. All the teams had guys you would consider superstars. The Rockets don't really have one right now. Certainly that could come. I don't suspect the 22 or 23-year-old versions of Jalen Green or Şengün are going to be elevated to superstar status. I obviously could be wrong, and if one of them does make that leap, or if it's someone else that I'm not thinking of, that team can win 50 games. But I think that's an unrealistic expectation, just going by what it generally takes. You don't get like a hodgepodge of good players and get to 50 wins. That's not really how it goes. You have to have a legit, non-question star for that to happen, and the Rockets are still trying to find one, whether it's on the roster or one they eventually trade for. Can they beat that 43.5 number? I think that's possible. The Clippers aren't going to be as good this year. The Lakers are older. They continue to get older. And the Rockets do have a young piece that is favored to win Rookie of the Year. I think 45, 46 is reasonable, which puts you in the range of maybe you're a 6th seed, 7th seed fighting for that. Just depends on how the other teams are going. But I think they are in the mode, at least in my eyes, where they shouldn't ever be in danger of not making the play-in, I would say, when we're talking about March and April. But as far as making that leap, because think about it, the Suns are a team that if they have health, they think they should be better. And that's a team who has Durant, Booker, and, well, Bradley Beal don't exactly fit the others, but he's paid like the others.
He's also the guy who got hurt the most.
Yes. He was hurt all the time.
That's the thing, because he's the guy who only plays. If our third best player is healthier, it's like, well.
But that team only won 49 games, yeah. And they had all-stars and a guy who's going to be obviously considered one of the top 20 players in the league ever in Kevin Durant. And they won 49 games. Now, year to year, maybe there are worse teams at the bottom. I don't really foresee that. So you can beat up on teams and that win total goes up. But if the Suns didn't win 50 games with that talent, yeah, they were not put together well, but they had legit stars. Can this version of the Rockets win 50? I feel like you're asking a lot of that team. If they can get into the range where they're, and by the way, the Pelicans won 49 games last year, and no one was thinking, and they added DeJounte Murray, and no one was thinking of the Pelicans as a great team, but they had star level talent. Whatever you think of Brandon Ingram, he's a good player, probably miscast along with the rest of that roster, and of course, if Zion's going to stay healthy, that's a team that can win 50 games too. I think it's tough. I think that 50 number is a big number for a team depending on, for the most part, guys in their early 20s.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny. Brandon Ingram's a great player, and he's been on the trade block.
I said good. Okay. I don't think I said great. I think
he's
I said
a good,
good
player.
Yeah.
And he's been on the trade block for the entire offseason. Yes. Everyone's like,
nah, we're good. Brandon Ingram doesn't have great trade value, but he still remains on a team that won 49 games last year.
Yeah.
And then they go add a better guard than what they had in DeJounte Murray.
So what I'll say for the case for the Rockets is that, A, they just have so many young guys and so much young talent that if one or two of these guys kind of pop off, you're looking at a very different team. It's also the fact they are so young, and you think about the teams that are above them in the West. It's teams like the Warriors, who they're not an old team, but the best player's old, and if he misses any time, they are screwed.
Yep.
And the same thing, honestly, same thing with Draymond Green on that team too. Or it's like, if Curry goes down, their offense is screwed. If Draymond goes down, their defense is screwed. So they're really on kind of a high wire act of, I don't know, being the 10 seed again, which is what they were with 46 wins last year. Yeah, the Lakers, who got got a healthy season out of their two best players, one of which turns 40 in December.
And the other one was called street clothes.
Yes. And they played in the Olympics this summer. They played well, but they did have to play those games, those extra, like, 10 games. The Pelicans, like you mentioned, who traded for DeJounte Murray, also got 70 games from Zion Williamson. Got the Suns, again, injured last year. We're getting to the point where Kevin Durant is now at the well, how much longer can he really be doing? Like, can we really have 37-year-old Kevin Durant be the best player on this team?
I don't think they're a title team.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I'm saying that all these guys, and then you have the Clippers who won 51 last year, and they lost.
Kawhi ain't going to be available to start, it looks like, and obviously Paul George, who nearly avoided a disaster, is now a Sixer. The team we have not mentioned, who we expect to take a leap or back to where they were, is the Grizzlies.
Yeah, yeah, the Grizzlies are going to get. They're at 27 wins last year. They'll probably just flip the record. They're 27-55. You could talk me into them being 55-27. Maybe not 55. 55 is a lot. But, yeah, the Grizzlies are, you know, when you look at just the basic, well, you know, the Clippers are probably going to drop out of the playoffs. Who's going to take that spot? It'll be the Memphis Grizzlies. And then that's where you're looking at all these other teams for the Rockets to be the team that jumps into the playoffs. And, again, the bottom of the West, it's all these old teams that are hanging on really by a thread. And on the other hand, you have a Rockets team that has a core seven, which, like we said, a little ridiculous. But also it does speak to they have seven guys that are in their early 20s and – in the grind of a regular season, they should have fresher legs or at least younger legs than all these other teams.
But we should expect the Spurs to be better with another year of Wimby. Chris Paul, old that he is, should be a guy who can conduct their offense and, you know, maximize the unicorn that is Wimby more than Jeremy Sochan was doing in the first half of the year. And the other thing is, if we're talking about, you mentioned a guy who could take a leap. I think the team that Rocket fans who have high expectations for this Rocket team like to compare the Rockets to are the Thunder. The Thunder went 40-42 two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. Now they pulled guys off late in the year because they didn't want to be good. Shea was a guy they shut him down. Of course, Chet Holmgren was hurt before the season even began. So they had a top three pick show up on the roster, and then Shea, who was good in the 40 win season, obviously became an MVP candidate. Do we have a Shea type who will elevate themselves to be a top five player? You don't need that to get to 50, but that's why the Thunder did what they did, and plus they got a top three pick. Is Reed Shepard going to have the same type of impact that Chet Holmgren did? I guess would be another question, because they don't have a Shea right now. But can they find a guy who will impact their 40-win team like Chet Holmgren did? And Chet Holmgren was a starting big man. As a backup point guard, can Reed Shepard have that same type of impact? I don't think so. It'll be a combination of guys who maybe affect their roster like Chet Holmgren did. I just think they're lacking the one center point that all the focus can be on. Shea drove that team to 50-plus wins and a number one seed. I don't think the Rockets need to be shooting for a number one seed, but if they get to 50, it'll be because someone named Jalen Green or Albert Shingun is their Shea. I don't know if that person exists right now, and probably shouldn't, because Gilgeous Alexander's in his mid-20s. These guys are still in their early 20s. Okay, we wrap up hour one with that. We'll get into some college football stuff, because we do like to do an early preview, and the weekend is filled with games. Sean has a big game. I mean, he won't be playing in it, but he will be living and dying with the Georgia-Texas game. Dying's probably too strong, but he will be emotionally invested in that one. Of course, we've got Tennessee and Alabama. So the focus of the college football world will be much like it's been the last decade plus in the SEC. But there are other stuff. There's other games to get to and some numbers to get to as far as how the world has changed as far as rankings, because for the first time in quite a while, the teams we're used to being in the top five aren't there. So we'll get to that when we come back.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.